and welcome to Alzheimer Speaks Radio. I'm your host, Lori LeBay, and I'm so excited that you're joining us today. We are going to have a fascinating conversation, as usual, as we learn from people all around the world at all ages and stages of life. Stay tuned as we shift our dementia care from crisis to comfort.
Here we go. What you think about?
Well, hi, everyone, and welcome to Alzheimer Speaks. I'm your host, Lori LeBay, and I'm thrilled you can join us today. We are going to be having a conversation about Parkinson's today, and we are honored to have Dr. George Ackerman with us. His mother lived with Parkinson's, and he has become just a phenomenal advocate for Parkinson's disease and basically a project of love and legacy for his mother. We will learn more about that from George in just a bit. I always like to encourage everyone to go to alzheimerspeaks.com. Please check out all of the free educational resources we have there. You too can be a guest on the show. Everyone around the world at all ages and stages is welcome to talk about dementia and caregiving. Or maybe you're living with dementia and would like to partake in our Dementia in the Arts program or Dementia Chats. Plus, we have tools and so many other resources there for you to find, as well as our book, Betty the Bald Chicken, Lessons in How to Care, and of course, Dementia Map. If you have a service product or tool, if you have a Facebook group, if you have a support group of a certain fashion, if you have a blog or a YouTube channel, all of those things can be added to Dementia Map at no cost and help others find you a little bit easier. We need to work together. So if you are a profit, nonprofit, government agency, or person who doesn't really even see themselves as a resource because you're not an organization, you all matter, and we need to come together to make our dementia care culture much more significant and hopeful for those living with a form of dementia. So with no further ado, let's go ahead and introduce you to Dr. George Ackerman. Well, Dr. Ackerman, I'm so excited to have you on the show. We talked a while back, and this has kind of been in the queue, and our time is now. So I know a lot has transpired, and I'm looking forward personally to hearing your updates. But first, I'm going to have you introduce yourself to our audience, if you don't mind.
Thanks for your time, and also to your audience. It means the world to me and my family to have this opportunity to meet. My goal is really to reach individuals not only in the Parkinson's community, but also outside, because we're all a team, and we're all one powerful voice together. My name's Dr. George Ackerman. I go by Sharon's son, George. Unfortunately, my mother had Parkinson's disease for 15 years, and she had late onset dementia the last four or five. I was really thrown in as her caretaker the last 4 years. You know, you don't have a class on it. You don't have a choice. I'm really honored that I was able to be there for her, because she sacrificed a lot throughout her life to be there for me. And I'm only the man I am today, and all the accomplishments I've had because of her. Out of this, I'm a police officer, reserve now, an attorney in Florida, and also have my PhD. I'm a professor. So a lot of my work has always been with actually fighting for family members of victims of crime throughout the state of Florida and the world. Unfortunately, a lot of the times the family members have also secondary victims of crime. And in another sad way, I want this to be positive, but I correlate that research in my life before this all to the individuals with dementia and Parkinson's, because a lot of the time, as you know, because you're, in my opinion, an expert, they're forgotten, unfortunately, by society. They might be a little bit, I was shocked to find out today on this incredible summit that I know you're going to be a part of, and I am, that there are actually around even almost 50 million people with dementia. And I was shocked, because it kind of puts in perspective how important we need help for Parkinson's. Is only about 1 million in the U.S. So a lot of those people are forgotten and unheard, because it might not be, you know, a lot, 1 million, but to those 1 million who are now my family, it's the world. So, you know, again, we'll hopefully get to it, but this history is being made since we've spoken in the United States through Senate and Congress, and it's just incredible the timing of our talk today.
Wonderful. Well, you know, I think even if you say there's only a million, my guess is there's a lot more than that that haven't been diagnosed or who have been misdiagnosed, because that was a problem with dementia for many, many years, is people weren't diagnosed. So the numbers really weren't relevant. And then when you look at the ripple effect of the families involved, those numbers become huge. And this is just something that definitely needs to be spoken about. And we've got to break down the stigmas and the barriers and work, you know, collaboratively together. So again, I'm thrilled to have you on the show. Why don't you tell us a little bit about your mom and, you know, the process of your journey together?
Thanks. Yeah, I mean, my mother was very independent, hardworking. She was a school teacher. She sacrificed her own career. She had a master's degree, and she decided to take care of me and my brother. So she really didn't pursue a lot of her dreams and goals to have us and to help make sure we had a great life. And she did that. And she had a great life. I mean, we went to Disney. We did a lot of things. She loved to eat food. And we would always argue, which I regret now, but then I laugh a little. But every Sunday, the family would all get together and we'd argue over what to order for food. So, you know, I kind of miss that now. You know, when you're doing it and you're like arguing about nonsense, when it happens, you don't realize how you, you know, those are some memories you might cherish. But she was, again, educated, smart, very intelligent, and just dedicated her life to her family. And that once Parkinson set in for many years, and to this day, I'm not sure if she wasn't as aware of it, or maybe the research wasn't there and the doctors weren't really aware. I often think now, if we had an opportunity to talk today, why didn't, you know, she make a big deal of Parkinson's until it got really bad? And also the onset of dementia was actually more frightening to me as a caregiver and a son than the Parkinson's, because they say you can live with Parkinson's, you don't die with it from it. But unfortunately, my mother didn't really have any other issues. So it kind of sped the whole process up very fast. The last 4 years of her life, when dementia kicked in, and again, we could concentrate a little bit more on dementia, but it's the hallucinations and delusions that were most frightening. 4 years before she passed, the reason I had to come involved, the first 15 years, she just had a tough stiffness in her left arm, but it didn't affect her ability to drive, to live, to have the independent life. One day she went to a university for a special study, and unfortunately, I don't know what happened. Maybe they changed her medication too drastically. That night, around 4 a.m., I was rushed over to her home. She was moving furniture out of her house because she was in fear that somebody was going to harm her. And that's really what started my journey as her caretaker. And that wasn't even the frightening part. But when I rushed her to the hospital, I went back to get her clothes from her home. And her room was surrounded by post-it notes that you and I used to keep reminders. On the post-it notes were actually names and individuals like who were deceased, her parents and my animals who are no longer with us, because she wasn't sure at that point who was alive and who wasn't. And that was really like one of the saddest days in my life.
Yeah, there's so many areas that you touched on there when you talked about, you know, the mild shaking, and you can kind of live with that and still maneuver. But did she have like the freezing up and the gait changes and things too that so many do?
Yeah, she ended up with dystonia where the toes curled. She had fibromyalgia where her, you know, back pain, but she didn't have the external tremors, but she would tell me about how internally. So she kind of felt ashamed and bad, because she felt like people weren't going to believe her because she didn't have the more external tremors that you would say an individual like the Michael J. Fox from Michael J. Fox Foundation, the famous actor, has, where you can actually noticeably see it. And those are some of the things why I want to work again much more on awareness, because I feel that, again, I don't want to step too far ahead, but in the law enforcement field, I'm thinking also writing a book. If somebody has tremors, shaking uncontrollably, and they're pulled over for a minor infraction like a speeding ticket, let's say it's late at night, well, that officer goes up to the, you know, window and asks for a license and sees someone, you know, going kind of uncontrollably shaking. They don't know what to do. They could pull out a weapon. This is just stuff that needs to be addressed. I taught at the police academy for many years. They didn't mention Parkinson's disease once in the entire academy. So this is why I do this, why I think awareness is critical. I don't want something like that to end tragically when we just really could have just been a voice to change in all facets of society.
Wow. Are you familiar with Gene Saunders and Project Lifesaver at all?
No, but I always love to learn. I feel like this is, again, a journey for myself, continuing as an advocate, and I learn from everyone like you, and I become family with individuals, so I'd love to learn more about them.
Well, I'll introduce you because Gene does a conference every year. Project Lifesaver is, equipment that somebody can wear, like a wristband. And if they would wander or, get lost, Project
Right.
Lifesaver can find them. But he's big into educating the police department and, those on the search modes and stuff. So I'll connect you with him. And he also has a podcast as well. Super, super nice guy. We are seeing more police departments and EMS and fire and things getting trained. But we still have a long ways to go.
I was actually speaking with the Michael J. Fox Foundation, and if I do a book in the future, possibly helping to sponsor a bill that would go throughout the United States to really make a big impact.
That would be wonderful because it is a huge, huge need. And, they deal with this stuff all the time. I'm hoping with some of the restructures with the police department, with having social services, be part of, some of the calls that maybe that will be helpful as well, because they have a little broader, look at things. But yeah, we hear these horror stories all the time. And again, they don't happen a lot, but when they do, they're just so pronounced and so devastating. And it's just super, super important that we educate more people, not just our police and fire, but even our doctors and our nurses and our clinics and our the bus drivers and the Uber drivers and the stores, all of that. We just have to do better culturally and as a society for all ages and all stages to be more accepting and helpful on this on this journey. When you talked about tremors, my mom, Dr. Ackerman, lived with dementia for 30 years. She had Alzheimer's. For the first 10, she was misdiagnosed. They kept telling her it was her hormones, and she kept saying this, "I ain't my girlfriend's hormones." she says, "It's different." And then upon her death, we did the autopsy, and they showed Alzheimer's, Parkinson's, and Lewy body. And we didn't see a lot of the typical Parkinson's or Lewy body traits, though I'll never forget. She would shake a little bit, but not consistently. And it was pretty minor when she did. But one time they called me in and they thought she was going to die. All of a sudden she was having full body tremors and they had no idea why. She didn't have a temperature. She didn't have an infection. They couldn't figure out what it was. So they actually called me in to re-sign all of her paperwork. It was probably, she had been living there like 10 years and they're like, we should just update everything. And then it just disappeared. It was just very strange. Have you ever heard of anything like that?
No, but like something you brought up is very important to also note. And again, I'm not a medical doctor, and we all only speak from our experiences, but Parkinson's affects everyone so differently and so unique. So what occurred to my mother does not dictate what someone else might go through, and what they might go through will not dictate the next. So that's why it's a very unique and difficult disease to really fight and to really just diagnose, which is a big problem.
No, I'm hearing, on Alzheimer's Speaks, we are inclusive of all dementias, but I'm hearing so many more people having, twin diagnosis, many with Parkinson's, with different types of dementia. And that's been an interesting change over the last few years, too. So I don't know, are doctors getting better at diagnosing it, or, what actually is changing out there, or are they just not glumping everything together as much as they used to?
Yeah, they do a better research since 10, 15 years ago. Now we know because it's a neurological disorder, Parkinson's, not sure if this also helps dementia, but it'll slow down the speed and rapid speed that the disease will take over the mind. So things like boxing and Tai Chi and all these incredible organizations now, off like Rocksteady Boxing. Unfortunately for my mother, it was too late at that point, but there are so many more advances. Also the diet, just a lot more out there now. The knowledge is, I always say, power. They even have on early onset Parkinson's, which is really tragic. And Michael J. Fox was diagnosed around 30. I have a lot of friends now that also are about my age and they're struggling with it. We also don't know really why people get it. So I always think, there's a chance I can get it. And, they look at age, they're not sure. They look at biology, hereditary issues. But I think really the big one is the exposure to pesticides. My mother lived in a nice home, but for 20 years, I mean, she had mold. She had termites, and they came in with all the wacky, like space sci-fi looking gear, and sprayed. So I really do, unfortunately, in my opinion, believe it's definitely from those types of things. Just today, ironically, we're speaking. They put a post up, I think the Michael J. Fox Foundation, and it's being shared. But even the water we drink, like the bottled water, might be a causing part. I love Publix in South Florida, Publix spring water, and I don't know how I could go without it. So I'm still doing it. But we're trusting our foods, our supermarkets, and our government to dictate what we're putting in our bodies, and it's really frightening.
Yeah, well, and there's so much more coming out. And if you look at Europe, what they restrict versus what we restrict, we are way more lenient than they are, overseas with stuff. So, and then you add in the phone waves and the internet and the 5G and, all of that stuff too, can cause some major damage. And
Cell phone. If it's a cell phone and the Zoom, we're all in trouble podcasting Zoom.
I know I had a gal on one time and she was talking about childhood dementia and she actually showed some MRIs of kids and just holding a phone up to their head and you could see the radiation actually go through and penetrate the skull. And it was absolutely amazing. And they said because their skulls and their matter aren't they're not as protected as what we are as adults. But it was really kind of scary. So I think there's a lot of that stuff out there. I mean, you think of in the old days we used to be holding the phone up. I mean, I remember it was almost
Look
like
like
a shoebox, back in
a
the day when they first came out. Things have changed. So it is very interesting. It would be nice for them to be able to figure out what's what, but it's kind of like I think with dementia and Parkinson's and everything out there, I think it's going to be like cancers. There's going to be different types and different levels within each of those branches in terms of what happens. And like you said, all of our bodies are different. Our immune systems are different. I mean, it just goes on and on and on. So we're going to react differently to certain things. What types of, with your own mom, did she notice things or did you guys notice things first?
Yeah, I mean, I asked my father and asked, why no one brought it up to me more. And again, I don't know if it was more she was ashamed, more that she wasn't aware. But again, the first 15 years, we noticed her left arm was, she couldn't really use it much, which was, I didn't understand. I didn't really ask because I didn't want to bother her or even like get, she didn't, I figured if she wanted to talk, we would. But then, like I said, when I took over, that's when really it started noticing everything. I mean, she was very healthy and her health started declining. We used to make her eat very healthy foods and ensure like the drink. And then as we continued to get worse, I said, forget it. Let's just get her favorite hot chocolate cake or anything she wanted. 'Cause she was really, really sad to see, someone you love one, anyone kind of almost the word horrible, but deteriorating in front of you and almost to the bones. She went from a, good shape, healthy to almost, again, almost anorexic, sadly. So I saw, you see the physical, but as it got worse, she did have trouble speaking. She, one day we thought she had a stroke. They said she didn't, but she lost part of her ability to use, one side of her. So just like as a caretaker, I tried every single day to find something to make her feel better, something to, stop it or something to find a cure. And some days I do feel like I fail, but I know even looking back today, nothing else we could have done. We tried to get a license for medical marijuana for pain, but it didn't really work out because the distilleries don't speak to the doctors, so no one knows. It was like the Wild West. We tried several doctors. They all just, I love doctors, but sometimes I wonder how they can say the word movement specialist when there's really not much they can do. They did prescribe medicines and things, but when my mother passed, I call it the aftermath. Afterwards, I threw out about four huge garbage bags full of black garbage and full of medicines. And I just don't think a lot of that really, it might be intended to help, but all that, medicine for causes stomach issues. She had major problems with stomach, so she couldn't even sleep. So the last few years, we spent about $12,000 a month just hiring people to watch over her, not really caretakers because they didn't even understand Parkinson, but just someone to watch so she wouldn't fall until I could be there when I wasn't working. And some of the medicines like levodopa, carbidopa, again, I'm not an expert on medication. They're supposed to be given and combined with other substances to help, dopamine and also to help the brain. But we really don't know the side effects of all these things. And, again, she was told to give by the aides certain time and keep a journal. Who knows if they were really, even doing that. So there's just so many questions, unfortunately, I still have today. But even the marijuana license caused more hallucinations instead of less. The dyskinesia, like the involuntary movements, got worse. And finally, things like blood pressure changes, nausea, relentlessness, and drowsiness. But again, back to the dementia, because again, it's a big title of your show. And I don't get to concentrate a lot on it. I mean, that was the most frightening one because she would saw one time I was sitting on the bed with my daughter. She was only like six at the time, seven, and she loved her grandmother and all my, I have three children. They loved spending time with her. And my mother, I remember one of the sadder moments one day, she was hugging her, her bed sheets and her pillow, saying how much she loved Brooke, her granddaughter. But it wasn't Brooke, it was her sheets. And Brooke just looked at me as a young kid would. Kind of like giggle, but in a bad, like a confused way, and I didn't even have any words because I couldn't explain it. And I'm actually also working on a children's book because I couldn't really figure out how to tell my three kids what was happening to their grandmother.
Yeah, and it's nice to see more kids' books coming out. Being able
Thanks.
to have these conversations, I think, is really important. I just released mine called "Betty the Bald Chicken: Lessons on How
Well,
to
that's
Care."
cute.
That this is,
Congratulations.
yeah, and it's not just dementia specific. It can be used for bullying or divorce or death or addictions. But it's really getting people to understand how they want to be cared for, how they care for themselves, and how they care for others. In a simple fashion. And it's writing a kid's book, I think, is fascinating because the kids, I think, teach the adults a lot when we all think we're going to teach them, because they just come from this innocent space where they're more accepting a lot of times than we are as adults. They don't have the stigmas and stuff built in. And they're more accepting in terms of play and things. Let's talk about how, what are you doing to raise awareness of Parkinson's? You've got a lot of different things going on, and I don't know how you get it all done.
Honestly, I didn't just started togetherforsharon.com really just to tell my mother's journey and make sure she'd never forgotten, and also to just tell my journey as caretaker. And I thought maybe a few, four or five people would be interested, and I'd move on. And it actually sat for a year or two. I didn't do much. I'd put videos and things, but recently, last year in 2023, I discovered again. We think, unfortunately, like you said, about 1 million people with Parkinson's in the US, but it's one of the fastest growing diseases in the US, neurological, which is frightening. And as we sit here, people are being diagnosed. So I knew that that was out there, but then I found out through an organization called the World Parkinson's Congress, who meets every 2 years throughout the world. And they actually have speakers, and like we are doing, talk about, ways to find a cure and come together for advocacy. I learned there are about 10 million people around the world with it. I'm like, maybe this is not just about my mother and me anymore. It's about everyone. So I actually interviewed over 400, and it keeps changing because it's just amazing how. But in only 4 months, I interviewed 450 people. Some are diagnosed. Some have foundations like the Michael J. Fox Foundation. Some are leaders like congressmen and women who actually, there's a famous congresswoman now, Miss Wexler, and she's younger, and she had to retire from the House of Representatives a month ago due to Parkinson's, which is horrible. But anyway, also people around, so I've interviewed people from England, France, Spain, Italy, Australia, Iceland, even Africa, and more. I just can't, we wouldn't have the time. And all of them have their own journeys of dealing with Parkinson's. And what we do is for completely free to read, to share it on my website under interviews. And I did that, I poured my soul into it really again, because I feel that there's just so many people out there that need to be heard. One example is in Africa, they actually think it's witchcraft if you have Parkinson's, and that's really tragic because no one's going to help those individuals if that's the stigma that's put on it, which is false. So that's one of the big things that I'm excited. We're going to release those in books in the future. But every day when I wake up, if you do go to togetherforsharon.com and you click on interviews, it's really like, I always joke, but like when I'm at my wife, it was, you get those butterflies in your stomach when you meet your loved one. But every morning when I wake up, I don't know if you can see, but another story of a person pops up. This one's Mindy Lockshkin. She's an MD from Parkinson Support Center of Northern Nevada. So people might not realize, even in Northern Nevada, a little town, big town, this affects people everywhere, and it just shares their story. But that's one of the my prize things that I've been working on. Like you mentioned earlier, I have the honor, the February 2nd, to meet Michael J. Fox, and that's going to be a dream. He's someone that, again, my mother and so many out there are just don't want to come out in a way to share their story, because unfortunately there's some shame. They don't want to, tell their family. They don't want to tell their work. They have to quit. They don't want to stop having the ability to drive and live. And when I had to tell my mother that I had to take her car keys because she was a danger to herself and others, it was probably one of the worst also memories I have. But he's a hero because he, in his movie last year he released, he actually shared, how he didn't want to tell everybody. He was in fear that he loses his career, but he's become like an epic icon now in the Parkinson's community. And then a few other things. One is something I've been really working on. I'm in a weird place, I always say. I don't have Parkinson's or dementia. I'm not a caretaker, sadly, anymore with someone who's alive with it. So I looked around for probably months, and I went to so many support groups, but I couldn't speak because they were, they were actually talking about currently their loved ones fighting, and I didn't want to tell them what I went through end of life. So I've been really honored by a group called SPS Awareness. You're probably aware of them, and they deal with all different diseases. PSP, and also they deal with Parkinsonians and other things. And we're starting my own support group. I'm going to be the support group leader next month in February. And it's for anyone who lost their loved one due to any disease, not just Parkinson. So it's a place that's confidential, will not be recorded. It's completely free. If you visit my website and click on About Us, it'll go right to the support group. Again, I don't make a dime from any of this. We don't want money. My only goal is that one day we find a cure.
Well, one of the things you might be interested in a group here in Minnesota, we got together and created a group called the Reentry Program, and it was for caregivers who lost a loved one with dementia. And Warren Wolf is writing a book. He's had some health issues, so he's kind of gotten waylaid a little bit, but he was going to pull a workbook together. But it's about helping people deal with the loss after right. that loved one is gone. And who are you now? Because your identity sometimes gets mm-hmm. intermixed, and sometimes you lose your whole identity and don't even know who you are anymore, or, how to live your own life, because it's so poked with holes through a loss. And if that's something of interest, I can easily connect you to Warren as well. If that would be helpful for you, just let me know.
Yeah, that's the thing. I love, again, coming on these shows, not just to talk, but because I do feel I become like family with you and all your listeners, not just about a podcast, but really trying to change the world. And individuals like Warren, you mentioned, I don't know about. So togetherforsharon.com is literally for people who are just kind of lost. I felt frantic, lost, scared, upset, and completely didn't know what to turn, and we decided to put a lot of resources on the website again, completely free. But the only journey that breaks my heart today or story is the one that I just am not aware of. And that's what I would love to meet him and anyone, because again, I feel like we're all family in this fight for all the diseases and to find a cure for them all. But
Yeah,
guess
well,
what? If I had a cure for dementia, maybe we could have isolated Parkinson and dealt with it. We didn't even have time because we had to deal with dementia too. So it was just one thing. It's like the hammer. Like I felt like a nail just being boom, 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 boom.
well, and people don't realize that they can get these multiple diagnoses all the time either. Like they know they can have high blood pressure and they might have asthma or, you know, a heart condition. But, you know, when it comes to dementia, like some people have two or three types of dementia. You know, like my mom, we only were told she had Alzheimer's, but upon death, we were really dealing with Alzheimer's, Lewy body, and Parkinson's disease. But, you know, the Lewy body and the Parkinson's really weren't addressed. And so it's always interesting. If people are just tuning in right now, we are talking with Dr. George Ackerman, who has a website called togetherforsharon.com. He can also be reached at togetherforsharon@gmail.com. And he is on LinkedIn, TikTok, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, Threads, and YouTube. So he's kind of hard to miss. He is full of wonderful information. His website is filled with, what did you say, over 400 interviews?
Probably more, yeah. 450, and it's still growing because I'd love to share your journey, because again, this is not just about Parkinson's. I've actually covered individuals with Lewy body journeys, and it's not just the person diagnosed, it's the caretaker, it's foundations. I've covered fibromyalgia, you know, so many unfortunate things. Alzheimer's is there. Betsy is a good friend of mine. Betsy, I'm sure you know her from all some. And the sad thing is her husband, we started a blog together. Her husband passed away the same day my mother did. And it's like, we became family because of that. But, you know, again, it's about sharing everyone else's journeys.
Well, there's so much more overlap than I think people realize when you're in that caring role. And so there's so much we can learn from one another. Symptoms might be different. Time frames might be different. But timeframes for most of these things, it doesn't go A to B to C to D and follow this nice little linear line, you know. And so I just think there's so much that we can learn from one another. We're going to hear from QBlocks, and then we're going to be right back. I also want to introduce you all to QBlocks. They have been absolutely excellent to deal with. They have been in business for 18 years and they serve the globe. I can't say enough good things about this company. I've had a lot of bad experiences. I don't know about you with tech companies. They have made a very complicated process very easy. And their staff is so kind, so polite, so respectful to work with. And you know, when I am frustrated and ready to pull my hair out, they just smile and tell me everything's going to be okay. And they really are just on top of the communication, which alleviates so much stress as an owner when you're dealing with tech issues. You can get a 10% discount. Visit them at QBlocks, that's QBlocks.com. Or you can email them at letstalk@qblocks.com. For that 10% discount, just put Lori, Lori, in the inquiry form. And again, I don't think you'll be disappointed. I surely haven't been. I can't rave enough about this company. And that's kind of rare these days. So Dr. Ackerman, why don't you tell us a little bit more about your website? And if it's something that you even want to share the screen with and give us a tour, you're more than welcome to do that.
And this is the website that I thought only three people would really see. Somehow now, like you mentioned, we're on every social media and reaching over 30,000 people. If you scroll down, that's where you can click to see the interviews and to be interviewed. Again, it's all free. You'll see my mother's story and her journey, and you'll see my story and my journey. That's the End Parkinson's Disease Act. Also, some proclamations I've had and a lot of videos just to learn about what Parkinson's is. That's our dog, Bella. She's our mascot. Everyone loves that. My mother never got to meet her. And we've had people from around the world send me artwork in my mother's memory. I'm not an artist. They've actually sent me artwork. And this thing, actually, if you want to stop quick, unfortunately, we tried every the next one, the video. You don't have to play it. Yeah. I've been playing guitar for 20 years. Again, a lot of it's just for fun. I don't go on tour with Taylor Swift or anything, but just my mother had me learn when we were having snowstorms in Brooklyn, New York, where I'm from. But we tried a lot of therapies, but we had music therapy. That actually was a week before my mother sadly passed away. But I had an opportunity, which I never did, to play with the actual music therapist. And my mother, her last words in her life were, "She loved it and thank you." And we actually played the song Memory, because my mother, as a child, she brought me to Broadway in New York, and one of her favorite shows was Cats and the song Memory. So I had the really heartfelt honor to play that with her, and that's the video. You won't see my mother, she was too sick at that point, but you might hear her at the end say thank you. So, and then this is all my post. I don't know, some nights I don't sleep just thinking of all the other people fighting dementia and Parkinson's, and I've been able to team up with people, incredible people like yourself around the world, just for awareness. And again, my big pitch here, if I get a chance to do one, is I don't want anything but a cure. And it's so, sometimes people are shocked when I say that, which is sad in 2024. I really don't want anything. I don't accept donations. We do have a page for donations, and that goes to some of the big organizations like the Michael J. Fox Foundation. But we personally don't accept it. And I'm not an organization or foundation. I'm just a son who lost their best friend, his mother. And again, I just do this all to make sure people never forget my mother. And that's my family. You can see everyone's a part of the team.
Okay, wonderful. Yeah, well, it's nice for people to actually be able to see, what's what. So again, here you have to sign up in order to get to the interviews. Is that okay? Oh, Richard Underwood, he's wonderful. Yeah, you've got some great Laura Herman. Yeah, there's lots of good people out here. The resources are endless, and the sad part is people don't know that they exist. I wanted to ask you about donations. So are you a non-for-profit then?
I'm glad you said that. I'm just me. I don't want to do all that because I don't want to get. I like how they all deal with the money. I have nothing to do with it. But I've been able to team up with some of the bigger organizations like the American Parkinson's Disease Association, Drive Towards a Cure, Power of Parkinson's, and Parkinson's Foundation. And you just go there and you click. But the really nice thing is every one of those links is in memory of my mother. So it actually goes, it'll show you my mother's journey. But any money will go to that organization. We have nothing to do with it. And again, I did that. It may be when I'm older, I'll try and start a foundation. But with three kids and I work 24/7, it's tough to have a foundation. But I didn't really want one because I wanted people to know that, again, I'm not here for that. I'm really just here to find a cure and to really help spread awareness.
Okay, now here you've got partnerships.
Yeah, there's a lot of organizations that I admire and they inspire me around the world. And what I did is I just added all of them that I know personally to the website. They all have different resources. They offer different virtual things like exercise and webinars, and it's just all free. And it's just, I needed something like this, to be honest, when I was a caretaker because I didn't know where to go. I was frantic, like I said, didn't know what to do. And I also cover other areas like dementia, where I met Lance, and I also have Alzheimer's, and also some. We actually just added, if you go down the next a little lower there, that's important to me. The researchers and scientists, I've been able to research some of the top scientists and researchers around the world. And they actually did interviews with me, so now people can see those for free. They're really right from the doctors, the scientists. One of them, two, a few of them actually wrote a book called End Parkinson's Disease, which is internationally known. And there you'll see some of the, we do walks with the Parkinson's Foundation. So we have a table. We pass out bands for free. Sadly, sometimes people see us at a table and they're like, "What are you trying to sell us?" And they realize that that's not what they're there for. And I had a gentleman come over and hug me the other day at the last walk and cry because he was just appreciative of my mother's story and what we're doing. And that's what inspires me to keep fighting.
Wow.
That's an and we added that. That's a whole new area. Because of you and all the other people I admire, I decided, why don't we start our own kind of channel that I do also. We have a few podcasts. One is Together for Sharon podcast. It's a conversation And we interview individuals who are diagnosed and foundations and caretakers around the world for it's my wife and I. So it's nice because you have a caretaker, female and a male perspective. This is a different area, and there you see Lance. This is called Sharon's Q&A with Sharon's son. What I do is I interview people one-on-one, and I had an honor right there. If you see the interview, United States Representative Paul Tonka in New York about the national plan to end Parkinson's. And then finally, I have a podcast called Unscripted, and that's where we finally brought individuals with Parkinson's together with caretakers, which I haven't seen done before. And we also just have a conversation, but it's a lot of fun because we're all become like family. And then you'll see other podcasts where I like to hopefully one day put our podcast today. So we're trying to reach people again. You're somebody I value and mean the world to me because a lot of your work is in dementia. But I also try to reach out with organizations and groups and podcasts that aren't aware of any of these because, as we started today, I find if we don't get everyone involved, that we're never going to be able to come closer to a cure. So those are some of the other, there's a lot of shows there. And again, I'm honored to be a part of all those. Plus, like I said, this is not just a podcast to me. I feel like we do become family and that this relationship should go on forever until we find a cure, because it's just not just about a podcast, a talk, but it's about, there's Betsy, but it's about changing the world and ending this disease for everyone. That keeps me up late at night, every night, thinking about them.
Wow, you've got lots of stuff here.
Sure. We were lucky right there on the top there under books. The Michael J. Fox Foundation, a little bit higher. Up a little, yeah, there. Somehow I finally reached them, and it was an honor, and they added our website to their resources. And to me, that's one of the biggest honors that I've had, to be able to be listed among some of the, most amazing, inspirational people in the Parkinson's community. And again, I'm not supposed to talk about it, and I can't help it, but I'm actually close to publishing my book about my mother's journey and mine. It should be out in 2024. But we have a lot of books also planned. We just don't have the time.
Well, that's fantastic. It's like I said, you've got a lot of information out here that's going to help so many people. I mean, they could spend weeks on there.
So oddly, ironically, you say that a gentleman wrote me once that I spent 10 hours just reading the interviews, and I said, I love it, but I don't want you wasting. Please don't spend the whole day. But he was inspired because a lot of people, I'm telling you right now, listening to this, or I'll share it, might just have been diagnosed or might be wondering maybe they might have it or going to have get it. And they see that there's really other people, those 400 or 500 people out there going through exactly what they did, and it just helps them cope. And this today, our talk helps me still grieve, because there's not a day that I don't miss my mother. And, she was my best friend. Sometimes I go through these podcasts and I'm fine. I'll walk in the other room to my office, my wife, and I just start, crying, because it's, this means a lot to me. You giving me the opportunity, even just for this time, to remember my mother. And hopefully if we even just reach one person new, and we've done something that's so special, it'll change the world for everybody in the Parkinson's community and outside.
Well, that's how I feel when I stepped into this space in 2009, too. It's like, we've got to do better. We've got to be more inclusive. And so much of what we need to do is really simple to do. It doesn't have to be complicated. But big business, I think, complicates a lot of this. And I had a show today. I did a dementia chats, and that's where I have a panel of people living with dementia. And one of the questions was, well, can't we just have a 1-800 number that has all these resources? And I said, well, that's kind of what Dementia Map is trying to do.
Right.
But again, you have to have people participate. And if you just feed the beast, not all the information is accurate that's out there, because especially with all the staff changes and stuff that's going on. Plus, you want to have people that are actually going to respond when somebody reaches out. Otherwise, people give up and then they stop reaching out, and you don't want that to happen either. But we need money to be able to do that. We need to be able to be staffed to really go out there and expand it on the level it needs to be. And people could take a half an hour and just put in a free listing. I look at all the things you have on your site. We would love all of those people in there to be able to, again, just have one other avenue where they're exposed. It's not about trying to take away from anybody. It's trying to build each of them up. And we have to do a better job for the public. They deserve choice in terms of what they're looking for, because everybody resonates with something a little bit different because they're dealing with something a little bit different. And it could have to do with finances. It could have to do with culture. It could have to do with personality styles or learning styles. I mean, all of that stuff comes into play, but people deserve to know all of the resources that are out there. I'm sure when people go to your site, Dr. Ackerman, they are shocked. Like, why isn't anybody telling me about this stuff?
Actually, Dementia Map and you are under our resources. If you look under Dementia, we had to go some of that, but I do want to thank you for that and listing us there. But I do share that. It's an important resource for the resource list, because there are a lot of individuals with dementia that need help. And if they come to us and then they go to you, they'll see we're all family in this fight.
And that's the way it should be. We should be, helping one another and doing what's best and easiest for the public. I've just never understood why we've always had to market by fear. I think we should be marketing by hope and in giving people choice and in empowering families. Well, is there anything that we haven't discussed? I think I got through all of the questions we had talked about and things I know that I was interested in. Anything that we missed?
No, I mean, again, I want to thank you and your viewers for and listeners for this opportunity. I've been excited and looking for it since last year when I had a great honor to speak with you. I usually end everything with just a quick word. We love you. We support you. We care about you, and you're never alone. That's the most important thing. You're never alone. I will advocate. Of course, Lori will too. So we will advocate for you, and together our voices are just so much stronger. And I always, in a positive way, I joke, but I always say I'm just getting started, which really I've been doing this for like you a while, not as long as you, but, it's just very important that we all are together in this. And again, so grateful for your time and all your audience, and hope we can continue this on so many more topics that we just didn't have the time to get to. But again, thank you for helping me remember my mother too, and my journey as her caregiver.
You have two choices in life. You can get through it and walk away from it, or you can get through it and help the next guy going through the same journey. And, I think I was like you, when I stepped in, I thought, big or small, I'm just going to try to make a difference and we'll see what happens with it. And I think people are shocked at how many people who have gone through this experience, how much we're able to get done on a shoestring budget. And that's always been the excuse of why it can't be done, because it's too complicated and it's too much. And I don't know about you, but I mean, I've had people actually say, well, there's no way you can do everything you say you've done. And we'll go look at the website. There's proof in the pudding, with that stuff. But I think when the passion is there, it just pushes you and it lifts you, and you're connecting with people. And it does, it's not as daunting, because it's really wrapped in hope. And it's wrapped in legacy and learning, and all of that stuff to me is really, really important.
Yeah, I often think about the future. So some days I'll ask my daughter's 11, I would say, Brooke, would you want to continue this? And then I even think to myself, we should maybe do a foundation in a few years, because my dream would be to we donated about $12,000 from our own family to the American Parkinson's Disease Association. You'll see it on the website. And it's fun, because you can say little notes and people who donate say notes. But I thought again, I'm like, wait a minute, 5-10 years, I hope we don't have to do anymore. I hope we have a cure and we wouldn't need that. Obviously, I'll still have the website, because I want my mother to be remembered. But maybe that would be nice to just concentrate on remembering her. But for now, I can't rest. I have to make sure the other people who are fighting it today, dementia and Parkinson's and everything. Sometimes we don't, this is another talk, but I feel like really burnt out some days. And then again, I think about how they're struggling, and they're a lot of my friends I met through social media who are diagnosed. And I think about them. Some of them are up all night with me, because I also don't sleep. And I think about, George, stop whining, get back and keep posting.
Well, and you have to take care of yourself too. And that's a hard balance some days. And feeling burnt out, that's normal as well. And so being able to rest up so that you can get back at it. I think we've all We've all been there. But in wrapping up, I want to thank you so much for your time today, Dr. Ackerman. It's been wonderful to have you on and to be able to share all of the resources that you've pulled together. Your passion shows through for sure, which I think resonates with so many. And to our listeners, I ask you to be a giver of hope. Like, click, and share. Again, for me, it's not about the numbers. I don't track that stuff. It's not important to me. What is important to me is that we spread good information out into the world, and each of you is a portal. You all have your spheres, your Facebook, your Twitter, your LinkedIn accounts, where you can go ahead and just click. It costs you no money. It takes very little time. And if you impact just one person, think of all the listeners out there that could push this out. And if they each impact one person, those numbers can be huge. And this information is evergreen. So it's never going to get old. There's always going to be somebody new that needs this information. So again, we really appreciate your help in terms of sharing the information. And again, I want to give you contact information. Again, it's all in the show notes as well, but you can go to togetherforsharon.com, which is the website. Email is togetherforsharon on Gmail or at gmail.com. And on LinkedIn, you can look up Dr. Ackerman there. He's on TikTok as togetherforsharon1, on Facebook, Together for Sharon, on Twitter, Together for it's just SHA1. I think they run out of characters sometimes with Twitter handles. And then on Instagram, you're Together for Sharon. And then you also have a YouTube channel. But again, you just go to the website and you're going to be able to get to all of his handles real easy. And so when you're at his website, just click on each one of those and give him a follow. And help spread the word. Again, thank you again so much, Dr. Ackerman, for the time with us today. And to our listeners, you are always appreciated and so welcome to join us. And maybe, just maybe, you can be our next guest. Just reach out to me at radio@alzheimerspeaks.com. Bye, everyone. We'll catch you later.
Hi, this is Suzanne Newman, host of the Answers for Elders podcast and radio show. We are the North Star that guides you through the complicated journey of senior care with trusted experts in money, law, living solutions, and more. So join us on this station, your favorite podcast channel, or just go to answersforelders.com. Meet the way showers who will help your journey go a lot easier.